thanks for tuning in to the Bird Brain Ramblings podcast. My name is John Hardy, and welcome. Join me for a podcast dedicated to conservation and admiration of birds worldwide. Well, good morning. Welcome back. Thanks for tuning in. Like the intro said, I'm John, and this is the Bird Brained Ramblings podcast. As many of you know, I have been taking a break for the past couple weeks. Even though I said I wasn't going to take a break from podcasting, I did. And part of that is just the craziness of the season. I mean, here we are in the holidays. We had Thanksgiving, and now I got Christmas coming up, and the new year. And there's a lot of planning that has to go into place for my big year, which starts on January 1st. So we've got a lot going on, and so I apologize for being so distant from everybody, but I'm back today. And boy, does it feel good to be back in the recording studio. I wish it was a studio. Instead, it's just my iPad sitting on a desk in my room, but that's okay. So I've got a lot I want to talk about today. I'm really excited. Birding, I took a break from birding. Pretty much the only birding I was doing was in my own yard at our feeders. But I decided that, you know, I needed to get back into it. And so one of the ways I did that was with a Christmas bird count. And I can't wait to tell you more about that. It was probably the best birding experience I've had in my entire life. So I'm really excited for it. But before we get there, there's some rarities that have been happening in the state that I wanted to talk about. And so, excuse me, y'all. I've got this head junk going on. But there was some rarities that's been seen in the state, and I really wanted to point those out to you. So, really, I'm just going to focus on one. Of course, we've had snow geese and Ross's geese that are popping up in random places. And we've still got vermilion flycatchers and sais phoebes in the south part of the state that are visiting and checking out. So those are great. We've also got some hummingbirds that are still hanging out. And I have a feeling that the ones that are here now are probably going to winter over. A couple of them have moved on, but there's still a few in the state. And so I have a feeling that they're going to winter over, so I'm really excited to see that happen. So, just some really cool birds that have been showing up in the state recently. Totally cool, really excited for it and everything. My big year is coming right around the corner. It's not very long. I start at midnight on January 1st, and I plan on being out in the field at midnight on January 1st. More on that later, but right now I would love to shift gears and let's talk about recent birding for me. Yesterday was December 15th of 2021, and I was honored and privileged to be able to take part in the first ever Christmas bird count for the Ogeechee Audubon group in South Georgia. I was thrilled to take part in this count. It was really an honor. So, a little bit of backstory, and I think I've talked about this in previous podcast episodes, but I had the pleasure of getting an email a while back from this lady, and I didn't even know who she was or anything. I don't know how she got, I know now, but I didn't know at the time how she had gotten my contact information or anything like that. But she just sent me a simple email, and her name was Brittany, and she's introducing herself, talking about Ogeechee Audubon and how they were doing their first ever Christmas bird count. And she asked me if I would be interested in participating. And I was shocked at first, but And why they chose me. I mean, that was the first question, like, why me? I mean, I'm still fairly new to birding. But I went ahead and responded, and I told her, yeah, I mean, absolutely. I'd love to participate. And so little did I know that what they did is Brittany and then a lady named Leslie and a guy named Stan, they were in charge of coordinating this Christmas bird count. And Brittany had found my name on a bunch of checklists from the Georgia coast. And she was like, well, you know, we just went by that. And when we saw your name on all these checklists, we thought, okay, well, he would be a great addition. So, I was invited to go and participate, in this Christmas bird count. This was my first ever Christmas bird count. I've never been on one before. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know any of the people that were involved with this Christmas bird count, but that was okay. And so I was signed up, ready to go. I made the decision to book a hotel the night before. That way I could get up bright and early and ready to go the next morning instead of having to drive 3.5 hours, you know, to get down there and turn around and drive 3.5 hours back that evening. So that would be a little bit of a nightmare. So I stayed the night, and kudos to Baymont Inn in Richmond Hill. They were great. I mean, very clean hotel. And, you know, fair price. It's right off the interstate, super easy. So if you're ever in the area, great place to stay. But I got up yesterday morning. I still didn't know what to expect. You know, ate some breakfast and realized that I had left my belt at home, which for a lot of people wouldn't be an issue. But the one pair of pants I took to wear for this Christmas bird count is a pair that is slightly too big, and it's just big enough that if I put stuff in my pockets, they will fall. So at 6 o'clock yesterday morning, I was driving to the nearest Walmart to pick up a belt, but that's just the beginning of the adventure. So there's that. But I got up yesterday, super excited, got ready, packed up, and hit the road. And when I was told about where we were going to be birding, I didn't know what to think because I'd never heard of the place. There was no website for it. I couldn't find any information online. So I was like, well, this is interesting. So we'll have to see what it is. We had the pleasure, my portion and, well, my team's portion of our circle was Vallambrosa Plantation in Richmond Hill. And it's an old plantation. I think it said 1783 was when it was founded on the sign. And it's not being actively used for anything right now. I mean, they are taking care of the property, but they're trying to use it as more of like a habitat management area. The property manager mentioned that they're trying to increase, without importing birds, they're trying to increase the populations of northern bobwhite and wild turkeys out there on the property, which was really encouraging to hear from him. So it's great property. I mean, I don't know how many acres. I know that out of a whole day, we still didn't get to cover the whole property. There's just a ton of land out there. But it was some of the best habitat I think I've birded in a long time. We had open grasslands. We had some forested areas. We had freshwater, swampy, marshy areas. We also had salt marsh, brackish areas. You know, I mean, we had a freshwater pond. Like, there was so many different habitats there that I knew when I talked to my teammate, Pam. Shout out to you, Pam. But when I was talking with her about it, I knew that we were going to see a lot of birds, you know, and I was excited for it, but I didn't know how many and I didn't know what. So kind of went into this a little bit blind. But my fantastic teammate, Pam, which I have to tell y'all, Pam was a huge help for me. Having only been birding for about a year now, she was extremely encouraging. You know, she was a wealth of knowledge. She's been birding the area for a while now. And so I would ask her, you know, hey, well, what about this species? You know, would this be something that you would see? And she'd be like, eh, no, not really. We don't have those here on the coast. Or, yeah, we actually have a lot of those here on the coast. And some stuff shocked me because they wintered, like some species, like for instance, a blue gray gnatcatcher summers up here, where I live in the northern Georgia area. But it's summers along the coast. And so it was nothing to see a blue gray gnatcatcher yesterday in the middle of December, which I thought was really neat. But she was just a wealth of information, just really encouraging. And I was super thankful to have her as a part of my team yesterday. It was just the two of us trying to handle all this property. And so it was interesting, but we got a lot done. So let's just walk through the day. So to tell y'all how awesome this piece of property was, I pulled up at the gate at like 7:15-ish and went ahead and got out of the car. I couldn't go into the plantation because Pam had the gate code, and so I wasn't able to get in, but I was waiting on her. And while I was waiting, I went ahead and grabbed my binoculars and started looking. And I'm still not 100% sure, and I probably never will be, but I am almost positive that as I stepped out of the car, I already heard a bald eagle screaming. And so, I mean, that was just a way to start. And then lots of crows, big flocks of blackbirds, some big flocks of tree swallows, oddly enough. So it was really interesting. It was really cool just in the few minutes that I stood out there before Pam got there. Pam pulled in a few minutes later, and we went ahead and moved our cars inside the gate and parked them. And we talked a little bit. I filled out a little bit of paperwork for the CBC. And we just kind of came up with a strategy. So, you know, we decided we're here at the front gate. Let's bird this area for a little bit and we'll move on. Well, when we say a little bit, we meant 20, 30 minutes. But the birds were so outstanding. I mean, I've never seen numbers like this. I've never seen this many species in one little spot. They just kept popping up. And we ended up spending an hour and a half just at the front gate birding. Sparrows, warblers, lots of woodpeckers, tree swallows. As a matter of fact, I've got the list right here. And we had to estimate, because there's no way we could have counted them, but our estimate was 220 tree swallows just at the front gate. And we saw them throughout the day as well. It was really impressive. And so we spent an hour and a half sitting there, and we walked out through some grassy areas. We were looking at some sparrows and such. I got my eyes on a swamp sparrow, and I thought that's what it was, but I wanted to have Pam confirm. And so we watched it for a few minutes and did come to the determination that it was a swamp sparrow. And that one was really neat. Then while we were standing there, I started hearing something that was unlike anything I've heard before. And so, you know, I started thinking through what it was. I got Pam's attention. I'm like, "Do you hear that?" And she was like, "I hear it." And we were trying to figure out what it was, and we just couldn't. We started stalking the sound, trying to sneak up on it, and when we got close, it's like the bird disappeared. So we left that area and just kind of kept looking around some other places close by. We were watching some trees. Specifically, there was two trees behind us that were just producing birds like nobody's business. I mean, we had ruby-crowned kinglets, we had blue-headed vireos, of course, your usual, you know, tufted titmouse, Carolina chickadee, woodpeckers. We had pileated, red-bellied, we had a downy right there, we had a sapsucker, a yellow-bellied sapsucker right there, warblers. We had lots of pine warblers, a couple palm warblers right there. We did have a single black and white warbler, which I was not expecting. According to Pam, they do winter along the coast down there some, but I mean, still, they're not very proliferant. And so seeing a black and white warbler was a little bit of a shock. But then I had just mentioned to her, I was like, something that's on my list that I haven't seen yet is an orange-crowned warbler. And everybody in Georgia talks about how easy it is to see an orange-crowned warbler. And I was like, I still haven't seen one. And so, I mean, just a few minutes later, we turned around and was looking in some brush, at some sparrows and such, and there it was. There was an orange crowned warbler just sitting in this brush. Great views of it, good coloration. And so, I mean, immediately I was like, okay, there's one off my life list. Like, this is exciting. We had lots of goldfinches. I'm trying to think of something else. That was pretty much the gist of right there, but some Carolina wrens too. But we kept hearing this other bird, and every time we would try to chase it, every time we would try to stalk it, it would disappear. And it was so aggravating. I mean, like, severely aggravating for us. But finally, we started playing some calls on our phones. And I know that playback is something that is highly opinionated. Or not opinionated, but people have their own opinions of it. It's controversial. That's how I should have worded that. Words are great this morning. Anyway. So I know that playback is very controversial. But we weren't playing it to attract the bird. We were playing it somewhat quietly to see if we could match the sounds to the bird. We had figured out that it was more than likely some sort of wren. And in the state of Georgia, in winter, you have a Carolina wren, a winter wren, a house wren, a sedge wren, and a marsh wren. And the occasional Buicks, but very rarely. So we were not even considering that as an option at the time. Our two biggest contenders were a sedge wren and a marsh wren. The sedge wren didn't sound quite right, but the marsh wren didn't either. And so finally, Pam made the decision, let's play it a little bit louder. She played it a little bit louder, and the bird responded to a sedge wren call, which I was really excited for. So we finally did get our first sedge wren for the day. The blackbirds flew over. It was just, that area alone was insane. And we kept saying, oh, we got to move on. And every time we'd say that, we'd see something else. And it was just like, absolutely unbelievable. We did, we were walking along, and all of a sudden this huge flock of birds, probably about 30 of them, I think is what we estimated on our list here. It flew up and flew into the top of one of the pine trees. And as they were flying, I was like, what is that? Like, I'm thinking, is that quail? Is it like, I don't know what I'm looking at. And we finally saw it. They were eastern meadowlarks. And I've never seen eastern meadowlarks in numbers like that. But this big flock of about 30 flew up into the top of a pine tree. And we got to see them. And Pam got some pictures. Just beautiful birds. So finally, after we'd been there for an hour and a half, we've got to move on. So we went and got in Pam's car. I offered to take my car, but it actually turned out that Pam's car had a little bit better clearance, and it wasn't quite as big. Me trying to maneuver my big SUV through these tiny roads was going to be rough. A bulk of the property is paths, elevated road paths through marsh. You've got dikes on either side, and it's just like, it wouldn't take much to slip off of one of those, especially if it had been raining, which thank goodness it had not. But it wouldn't take much to slip off of one of those. So Pam's car was the safer option, and so we decided to take Pam's car. We moved up, and we every time we think we're going somewhere, we'd stop at something else. And we had just gotten done talking about, we should see a northern harrier today. We should see a kestrel. We're going down the list of some of these birds that we're supposed to see. And as soon as we were talking about it, I saw something on a power line, and we stopped. It was an American kestrel just sitting right there. And we're like, man, if we can talk them up like that, then we could really rack up a list. But so we got to see that American kestrel. We drove on. There was another big field out further back in the property that we stopped at. And that was like our sparrow field. We had a ton of sparrows right there. And, just lots of them. We had, chipping sparrows, song sparrows. We had our swamp sparrows, white-throated sparrows. I'm trying to think. I think that was all of them that we saw. But bottom line, we had a lot of sparrows right there in that area. And, we really enjoyed just sitting there watching them. Savannah Sparrows, those two. And Pam took the field and decided that she was going to go out through the field and try to identify all the sparrows. I was hanging closer to the road and paying attention to the wooded side of the road, seeing what I could get there. And, you know, we added house wren, we added northern flicker, I think we had some more palm warblers there. I think that might have been where we saw, no, it's not. But we had a lot of birds right there. And so finally I heard something and I was like, that sounds like another sedge wren. But once again, it didn't sound quite right. And so I was like, well, let me go check this. And it was actually in the field, but Miss Pam had walked off and was looking at some sparrows and stuff. So I was like, well, let me just go check this out. So I walked out into the field and there was this little low place in the field that was muddy and had some different kind of plant life growing right in this one little spot. And every time I'd hear the bird, I'd see the grass move, you know, and I was like, it's down in there somewhere. So I waited patiently and finally got my binoculars on this bird. And it was a beautiful marsh wren. And so we were able to add marsh wren to the list. We were hoping to see some dark-eyed juncos. And I still think I could have seen them at 2 points, but we didn't get a good enough look at them, and we couldn't get our eyes back on them, so we couldn't officially put them on the list, which was sad. But we just continued in that field for a few, and then we moved on. We had decided, you know, well, we need some water birds, so let's move forward. So Miss Pam had a map that she had printed out of the first time that she had been to Vallambrosa. And it was the eBird track from using the eBird app, which is one of the best tools, I think. And I love using the eBird track. But she had printed out that map so we could kind of keep up with where we are. The problem is nothing is clearly marked on that map besides the path that you drove. So, and there was a couple times that we had to pull up Google Maps and kind of compare. So this was one of those times. We were driving along and there was this road that veered off to the right, but she's like, no, that doesn't seem right. And so we kept driving, but we got to a dead end and we're both sitting there like, well, I don't know where this goes. You know, I'm confused. So thank you, Google Maps, for being a thing. And thank goodness Vallambrosa had cell service. I pulled up Google Maps and compared the Google Maps to the image to the satellite image from Google Maps to the eBird track and found out where we were, figured out that we were supposed to turn on that road. We went back and moved on and all that. Well, we're driving along and we got to this really swampy area. We had seen, you know, some cardinals and stuff while we were driving over there, but we had not stopped yet until I heard golden crowned kinglets, and I heard them and I was like, oh, Pam, stop. So we stopped for a minute and we got out and started looking. There was lots of golden crowned kinglets. And we picked up hermit thrush right there. Wood ducks were right there. I think those were the only new ones we picked up at that one little spot. We got back in the car and moved further down on that road, next to a dike. And as we were driving, you know, I thought, you know, maybe I'd heard something. So we stopped the car again and got out. And as I opened my door, this bird flew up from the marshy bottom of the dike and flew off to the side. And I could tell by the way it was flying, the way the tail feathers were extremely spread out with a little bit of a gap in them, making it look kind of, you know, uncouth. But, I was like, I think that was a Wilson snipe. And Pam was like, oh, well, I didn't see it. And I was like, yeah, and I'm not 100% sure. But a few minutes later, we heard it calling just down from where the car was. And so it had just flown down a little bit. And we made the decision that, yes, that was a Wilson snipe, which I was really excited about. We got to add that one to the list. Really, I was excited because I was the one that saw it, and I did not expect to be the one to see birds first. Pam has so much more experience than I do, so I did not expect to be the one to see the birds first. But we got to add a Wilson's snipe to our list right there, which was fantastic. And we kept moving down this road next to the dike, and we kept seeing a couple other ducks. We believe them to be either blue-winged teals or ring-necked ducks. But we didn't get a close enough look at them. There was two different instances, and we didn't get a close enough look at them or anything, so we couldn't determine whether or not it was. So we couldn't add them on. But that's okay. You know, we still saw a lot of other birds. So it was all good. We decided to leave this one area and keep driving. The property goes down and then it turns to the left and kind of goes a little bit lower. Not terribly low or anything, but it went a little bit lower and, went right out through the middle of marsh. And so I was really excited because I was like, oh my gosh, you know, we'll get to see some, hopefully some herons and some egrets and stuff like that. Who knows? I didn't even think at the time about the rail family, but I thought, you know, maybe we'll see some of those too. We're driving along and we get to this one muddy spot, and it was kind of a half and half chance, you know. I mean, it wasn't any better. I probably wouldn't have done anything different from what Pam did. So, Miss Pam, if you ever hear this, you handled the situation beautifully. But we come up on this muddy spot, and there's these big, I mean, they were practically ditches that had been formed from other vehicles coming through there. And we were looking at them, and they were super deep. And I knew that if we ended up in one of those, we wouldn't be able to get the car out. So you could have gone right, you could have gone left, but it's very narrow, and you're in the middle of a marsh. So there's only so much you can do. And Miss Pam tried to turn to the left and go around it, just veer left a little bit to try to get around them. And we're driving along. The ground went out from underneath us, and boom, we were in the ditch. And the car was stuck. I mean, it was like the body of the car was stuck. It wasn't just, you know, we were stuck in a muddy hole. It was stuck. And so we're sitting out there, and thank goodness we had cell service. We were able to call Mike, the property manager, to come out there, and he brought his big truck out and pulled us out and got us back on the other side of it. And we were good to go to start birding again. While we were waiting for Mike, Miss Pam hung out at the car, and I told her, I was like, I'm not going to go far, but I'm going to walk up some and see what I can see. And she was like, okay, cool. So she stayed behind. And we had some laughing gulls fly over. We had some ring-billed gulls fly over. And we both saw those. But I was walking down and came up on this one area, and they scared me so bad. But we had two little blue herons that flew up from the side of the road and flew over the road in front of me. And so I got to watch those little blue herons for a few minutes. It was beautiful. And then I turned around and walked back, and by the time I got back to the car, Mike was already there taking care of getting the car out of the mud. So it worked out perfect. We got to see a few birds, and while I was gone, Miss Pam saw, a young bald eagle fly over. So it worked out well, even though it definitely wasn't the best situation, it worked out. So, really thankful for Mike, and Pam too, just being awesome right then. But we kept going on, and I mean, we kept stopping for different birds and stuff and adding new species and things like that. We had some egrets come by, and, but we were missing a few things. And we stopped at this one part, and Miss Pam looked at me and she said, you know, this is prime habitat for rails. And I was like, yeah, it is. And she said, I thought I heard something further back, but it was nowhere near enough for me to be able to, it was just a, you know, barely heard it. So there's no way I could add it to the list. She's like, let's play some call back and see if we can get them to start talking. And so we stood there and we went through the list of all the rails that could be in the state of Georgia. which would have been King Rail, Clapper Rail, Virginia Rail, and Asora. So we went through all these, and we didn't get anything called back. And we were like, okay, well, you know, maybe we were just hearing things or something like that. We kept looking, and we saw some more wood ducks were around in one of those dikes over on that side. We also saw our first northern harrier of the day. Of course, you know, northern harrier behavior, it was over the swamp, over the marsh, I'm sorry. And, it was just, I mean, they're beautiful birds. And so we were really excited about the harrier and everything. We kept driving on, and, the day was a lot of stop and go, but that's just because of the way the property's laid out. We kept driving on, and Miss Pam and I were, you know, just kind of chit-chatting in the car, and all of a sudden, it was very close to the car, Asora started calling, and we both looked at each other, and we were like, oh my goodness, that's Asora! And we were so excited, and we got to add Asora to the list, but we were running behind on time, it was getting close to lunch, and usually on a CBC, you would take granola bars or, you know, I mean, trail mix, those sorts of things, to snack on throughout your day, because usually you don't take a break for lunch. But with this being the first ever CBC for this circle, they were providing lunch for us. And so we had a time, when lunch was at 1 o'clock, we needed to be at the golf club where they were going to be serving it. We needed to be there at 1 o'clock, and it was about a 20-minute drive. So we're looking at the clock, and we're like, oh, we're already pushing it, so we hated to do it, but we kind of just rushed through the last little bit there. Went and met up with Mike, and Mike and his one of his staff members came with us to lunch. And we rode over to the Ford River Club. Now, the Ford River Club is really a cool place. Just gorgeous houses. I mean, beautiful. But the Ogeechee Audubon had worked with Ford River Club, and they were providing us lunch. They did a full-on, delicious low country boil, and they had salad and stuff as well, but the low country boil was outrageously delicious. If you've never had that, it's well worth looking out for a place to find a low country boil. It's amazing, it's delicious, and they did a wonderful job with lunch and everything. We got to sit around and chit-chat with some of the other people that were working with our CBC, and, you know, we're talking about our different places and stuff, and Pam and I started realizing that we were really lucky with the location that we got. During the morning birding alone, we saw 66 species of birds at our property. And I was talking to Pam earlier in the day, and she told me, she's like, I'm only estimating that all together as a whole circle, we'll only see maybe 70 species of birds. And then here we are before lunch on our piece of property alone, we saw 66. So we were like, okay, well, this is really, it's shaping up to be a lot better day. After we ate and everything, Miss Pam and I hopped back in the car and we drove back over to the plantation where we continued birding. We didn't have a lot of time in the afternoon. That was the one downside to having lunch. Lunch was fantastic. It was great getting to meet all these people. Lunch was delicious. It was good getting to take a break and just kind of talk with other birders. But that was the one downside to lunch, is that we had a long break there. And by the time we got back between, you know, when we actually got back to the property and sunset, wasn't really that long. So, but we did our very best with what we had. Before we talk about the lunch bird, though, I was going to mention that while we were talking at lunch, one of the CBC coordinators, he asked Mike, the property manager at Val Ambrosia, he's like, you know, what do you think of all of us birding people? And Mike looked at us and he said, you guys are a different breed of human. And we all started laughing because it's so true. I mean, we are completely different. Birding is unlike any other hobby, because other hobbies, you have to have certain things you get excited about. Yesterday, if I saw a cardinal, I got excited. I mean, that's part of birding, is it's just, It's not just about list making. It's not just about numbers. It's about enjoying the nature around you. And so, call us easy to please if you want, but it's the truth. So, anyway, we ended up back at Vallambrosa for lunch, and we kind of, you know, rushed through the first part of the property. We're like, we've already seen this, but we wanted to count while we were driving just to see what else we could get. So we booked it back to the back part of the property and went to the other side of the property. And on that side, they have a freshwater pond. So we drove back. We had seen some birds on the way and everything, you know, making a list like normal. We also checked it twice because it's the Christmas bird count. But I'm okay, sorry. So we drove back to this freshwater pond, and I don't know what I was expecting at the freshwater pond. I think I was expecting ducks because we had not seen many ducks. But when we got back there, I pull up my binoculars and I'm looking over this pond, and the first thing I see is some common gallinules. And those were my first ones, so that was a lifer for me. The three lifers that I saw for the day were the orange-crowned warbler in the morning, the sora that we heard right before lunch, and then the common gallinules we saw in this pond. And we sat there for a few minutes, and there was some common gallinules and some coots, some American coots in the pond, and we counted those real quick. We moved on. There was another freshwater pond on the left where we picked up great egret and tricolored heron. I wasn't expecting to see a tricolored heron, but oh my gosh, they are gorgeous birds. And so I was really excited when I saw it. Just super excited for all that. We kept moving on, and we got to this one spot, and I looked at Miss Pam, and I was like, do you think this would be a good spot for rails? And she's like, maybe this is more brackish water. We could try for, you know, a clapper rail maybe. But those are probably the only ones we'll have over here. So, I pulled up my phone and I called for, clapper rail, and one immediately started calling back. And so we got to add clapper rail to the list. That was one of the things about Pam is she was fantastic when it came down to, you know, I would ask, what do you think about this area for this bird? Or do you think you'll have these birds here during the winter? And she was just a wealth of knowledge. So she was really beneficial in that way. We picked up a great blue heron shortly after that. Our first belted kingfisher was seen at the same spot as the rail was. And as we were going back, I looked up on the power line and I was like, you know what? I looked up on the power line and I was like, that looks like an eastern kingbird. And I was like, those wouldn't be here during the winter. They're a summer bird. And as we got closer, it was just from a quick glance that I had made my judgment. And as we got closer, we realized that we were looking at a loggerhead shrike. And so I had seen one other loggerhead shrike in my life. And it was in Lamar County this summer when I saw the Inca doves. If you're familiar with Georgia and you're familiar with the rare bird alerts, then you know there was an Inca dove that hung out in Lamar County for a little bit this summer. And I saw a loggerhead shrike there, but I didn't get good views of it then. This was the first time that I had seen one so great. And, I mean, just a beautiful bird, really cool looking with its black mask and everything. We kept driving in some more of the swampy areas and stuff. We were picking up a few birds here and there. Nothing new to the list, really, and the sun was starting to go down. And finally, we made the decision to cut it short. And we turned around and started driving back to the main part of the property, which was kind of sad because there was a lot more property that we could have explored. We just did not have the time. So we went back. We talked with Mike for another minute or two. He told us about a different path that we could take back to the front of the property where my car was. We took it. We did add another hermit thrush to the list. There wasn't much back there. But the property at Vallambrosa is just beautiful. And it is private property and it has restricted access right now. But maybe one day, you know, it'll be more open to the public coming to see it. You know, if I had to say thank you, I have to say thank you to, you know, the coordinators, Stan, Leslie, and Brittany. But I really have to say a huge thank you to Pam for just being so kind and so not cooperative, but she put up a patient. We'll put it that way. She was patient with me and Mike as well for letting us use his property and just being so great, coming, pulling us out of the ditch and all this kind of stuff. I mean, it was really just a cooperative team effort. And as I got in the car to drive home, I started thinking, these are my people. You know, I finally found my people, and it's birders. I walked into a community of complete strangers and felt like I'd known them for years because we had common things to talk about. We're sitting there talking about the birds we saw today, and Pam and I talked about a lot of the rarities that we had chased in the state and things like that. It's just, these are my people. And so I'm hugely thankful to the Ogeechee Audubon and the community down there that accepted me as an outsider. I was the only person that came from out of town to participate in the CBC. So they were very kind and very inclusive. And I cannot wait till next year when we do another one with Ogeechee. So it was fantastic, and I'm super excited for what's next. All right, so I talked a lot about the CBC, so I'm going to kind of keep this part short, but I am here to talk about my big year. I have a countdown going on my phone, and as of this morning, my big year starts in 15 days, 15 hours, and 25 minutes, and I'm so excited, so ready for this, and I cannot wait to spend an entire year focusing on ornithology. I'm very excited for it. I have two more Christmas bird counts coming up, and they're going to be part of my big year. The first one is January 1st and the second one is January 2nd. So, my first 2 days of my big year are going to be focused on CBCs. And so I'm really, really excited for all of that. I cannot wait to see how it all goes. So, stay tuned for more on that. But I did want to say that a huge shout out to Anchor Podcasts. I use Anchor for all of my recording, and they have set up a way for listener support. If you are listening to my podcast and you would like to support my big year effort, please, I would be honored if you would do something like that. And it is needed. I need a lot of assistance financially for my big year. Gas alone is expensive, but then the wear and tear on my vehicle. I will have some room and board that's going to be part of my year. I'm going to keep it as cheap as possible. And my goal is not to make money, that's for sure. I just need to come as close to cutting it even as I can. So if you are interested in supporting my podcast, feel free to go to Anchor Podcast by Spotify and do a search for my podcast, Bird Brain Ramblings. And on that page, it will have an option for you to support the podcast. And you can feel free to give there as you feel led. So, you know, I'm hugely grateful for any support that I will receive, even if it's just listener support, you know, even if it's just you listening to all of my crazy rambling on this podcast. I certainly appreciate it. Just a few updates on my big year. One of the things that I had been trying to do before my big year was come up with a better pair of binoculars. Before now, I owned a pair of Dakota 7x35 binoculars. And by no means are they bad binoculars. They have served me well. But I will say that there's a lot of light interference on them. The magnification is not very good. It's just, you know, I mean, they did their job, but they didn't do it well. So, I had been talking about wanting a pair of Maven binoculars. I heard about the company Maven, through a book called, Falcon Freeway. And it was a book about a big year, and I won't get into all those details, but, Falcon Freeway, he talked about Mavens and how he experienced his first Maven optics and was willing to get rid of his Swarovskis because these Mavens were so good. But their prices are amazing as well. So I had been asking for those, and I had shared that with my family, and Kind of as a Christmas wish, I guess. Like, if this is the only thing I get for Christmas from anybody, that's all I care about. Well, it's, as it turns out, I got on the website at Black Friday, and they had these binoculars on sale. So I told Mom, I was like, oh my gosh, I've got my binoculars on sale. I'm going to go ahead and buy them, so you guys don't worry about getting them for Christmas. And she said, wait. And she went and got her credit card and let me get them on her. And she said, Merry Christmas, but don't expect to get much at Christmas. So a huge thanks to my mom for spotting me those binoculars. My first day using them was yesterday at the CBC, because they are technically a Christmas gift. So she was nice enough to let me use them. And it's not going to be a surprise that I'm getting them, but at this point, I don't care. Those binoculars were amazing. They were so clear. The picture is so clear. The magnification is great. I had never seen birds through binoculars that clearly and that beautifully before in my life. So I have myself a pair of Maven 10x42s, and they have come in handy, and I can't wait to experiment with them more next year. And so, you know, that was one of the big things. The other thing I'm looking at is a new camera, which I'll have to consider very seriously because they're very expensive. But my camera is just very old and very heavy. That sounds like a pathetic thing to complain about, but it's heavy enough that if I go out birding for hours and I have it on my neck, it starts giving me a headache, my neck starts hurting, my back starts hurting. And so, you know, looking at some different options for that, it's definitely not a priority. That will be, you know, if I get lucky kind of thing. So we'll see how that goes. As for my big year, if you are a Georgia birder and you have tips, you have hot spots that you'd like to share, or anything else that you would like to share with me for my big year, please feel free to do so. My contact information is in the show notes for this show. And, you know, feel free to reach out anytime and just, you know, shoot me your recommendations or whatever. I was super thankful to Pam yesterday. I had told her about my big year, and she told me that if I'm ever on the coast and I want to go birding, to let her know. And she would, you know, gladly go with me. Also, if I'm looking for certain species or anything, or, to let her know, and that she would help me in that regard as well. And so I'm hugely blessed to have met Pam. I told her yesterday, I was like, this is by far the best team that I could have dreamed of for my first CBC. This is amazing. And I can't thank Pam enough for her encouragement and such in that regard. So, but the big year is coming. During my big year, I will be continuing to podcast. Part of my big year is holding my feet to the fire when it comes to this podcast and making sure that I am recording and posting regularly. I may have to back it up to every 2 weeks, but we'll wait and see. Lastly, for my big year, I'm also going to be doing a YouTube channel. Once that's created and set up, I will let y'all know. But I'd love to do a YouTube channel, because it's one thing to sit here and listen to a podcast. It's another thing to watch a video on YouTube, you know, updates and those sorts of things, and talking about adventures and such like that. So, I'm really looking forward to it. The big year is coming quickly, and I can't wait. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you choose to support me for my big year, thank you even more. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate it. So y'all keep tuning in. If you like the podcast, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. That's how the word about my podcast gets spread. And also, if you like my podcast and you know somebody else who likes birds, share it with them. And, you know, we'll get to share the love of birds together. So I'm really excited for all of this. I cannot thank you all enough for tuning in. And until next time, happy birding and be safe.